is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hi, this is Jim Saras from the Saras Skills Academy, and you're listening to the Hoop Heads Podcast.
Hey, Hoop Heads. Wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and they truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Also, make sure to check out the new Dr. Dish home machine, which is perfect for these crazy times when gyms and schools are closed. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today. Hello, and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Lensing here with my co-host, Jason Sunkel. We are tipping off tonight at 1:05 a.m. on late Tuesday night / Wednesday morning. Thanks for joining us on this special NBA episode. Jason, we have a lot to unpack.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Mike, we were talking earlier today, and there was like not that much to talk about. Like, we were gonna talk about like the things we're gonna get to the beginning here about this, what the NBA players are saying about not maybe wanting to go back, and then all of a sudden just Shams bombs just started flying. And
yeah, they keep flying fast and furious. So there's a lot to unpack from that for sure. But let's start out sort of with the serious matters. Go ahead and read the statement.
Yeah, so the NBA informed today, along with all the information we're going to talk about shortly, NBA has informed all 30 teams of this. And I'm going to read the exact thing. A central goal of our season restart will be to utilize the NBA's platform to bring attention and sustained action to issues of social injustice, including combating systematic racism, expanding educational and economic opportunities across the Black community, enacting meaningful police and criminal justice reform, and promoting greater civic engagement. We are in discussions with the NBAPA to develop a comprehensive strategy on how the NBA, its teams, and players can best address these issues, important social issues, and uniquely position our league to drive action and create meaningful and generational change. So that was part of the whole thing, and we'll get into the other, you know, more basketball-centric pieces. And obviously, this, over the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 days, there's been a lot of talk, like a lot of NBA players questioning whether the league should come back, and players including Kyrie, Avery Bradley, Dwight Howard, some former players, Steven Jackson. I know I'm forgetting other ones that kind of came out and said stuff, but about questioning, well, is this really what we should be doing right now? Or what should we do? Should we just not go and play? And so I think this was the NBA's way to try and at least begin the process of healing and getting that thought out of people's heads, I think, Mike, because I think ultimately the NBA knows that they need to have this happen. And I think most of the players know that it needs to happen. And based on who we've heard from, I think it's a small majority of players that were really questioning this. And there's other pieces that need to be addressed too, but I think this was the big topic of conversation.
So to me, there's two things that stick out from this announcement and just the players that are talking about not playing. And I think it comes down to, if you're a player or if you're the league, in what way are you going to be able to affect this meaningful and generational change that the league put out in their memo? And are you going to get more attention by being outside of the bubble and talking and being active and going to protests or whatever it is that you're going to do? Or are you going to be more visible and be able to affect more change within the bubble where you possibly have a platform? And I think it comes down to me, what are the things that in that memo that the league and the Players Association are talking about? What can they do in order to affect the type of changes that we're talking about, to help improve the lives of the Black community, to help engage with Black-owned businesses, to be able to address the police brutality issues that have been raised over the last couple weeks? I don't know what those things are that the league is going to do. Clearly, that's a laudable goal. Clearly, it's something that the league and everyone else should be striving for, to try to help, whatever, fix, impact some of those issues. But I just don't know what those things are. I will say, it seems to me, and maybe I'm wrong and maybe my perception is off, but I think that by being active and actually playing, that that's going to afford you a bigger opportunity to be able to share a message. Now, maybe you can't physically take action because you're quarantined inside the bubble and you can't get out, and then they've set up an anonymous hotline for people to tattle on you if you do try to get out, which we'll talk about in a minute. But in all seriousness, if you're inside the bubble, you're pretty much going to be limited to speech is what you're going to be able to do. You're going to be able to get a message out
the platform,
to more people.
It's the platform, right, thing.
The
like,
platform, right, yeah. Correct. But you cannot actually be physically doing anything. Now, the question becomes, if you're not inside the bubble, what is it that you are actually doing? Are you out protesting? Do you feel that has a bigger impact? Are you working with community activists and leaders within your home community? I don't know what Kyrie or Avery Bradley or Dwight Howard or these other guys, what is it that they're going to be doing to further the causes that we're talking about here if they're not inside the bubble playing? And to me, I think that's the greater question, is in which way can the players, and that could be players who want to go back and play, players who don't want to go back and play, in which location, in which scenario are they going to be able to make a greater impact? And I think it comes down to, for these guys, I don't know that anyone knows the right answer to that. I don't think any of us can understand which one of those options is going to end up being the better one. You and I have talked about it in relation to the virus. I don't know what I should be doing, shouldn't be doing. I don't know what the right thing to do is, what the wrong thing to do is. And I just think that the league and the players are grappling with this idea of, not only now do you have the virus situation, but now you have this other long-term, more important situation that we have to deal with, and that we have to figure out how to make an improvement in our country and within police departments and everything else that's going on. What's the best path for players to take to be able to have an impact? And I don't think they know. And I think that's what we're seeing here, is there's some confusion on the parts of everyone as to what the right thing to do is. And that's what they're trying to figure out.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think in order to be completely transparent here, we have to discuss where this kind of started coming from, because the first name that we heard was Kyrie, right, Mike? I mean, that was the
right.
That was the first
right.
name. And there's been a lot of, there was a piece on The Ringer that talked about, you know, the timeline for all of this happening, because originally Kyrie was talking about how he was going to go, he wanted to go, you know, they had the conference call. And Kyrie had a bunch of ridiculous questions, by the way. Like, I don't know if you saw the ridiculous questions he was asking, but he was asking some really silly ones. But one of them was, well, am I going to be able to go with the team at all? And they're like, well, you might be able to go, but you're going to count against a certain number or whatever, you know, because they're only allowed, and we'll talk about this, they're only allowed a certain number of people. And it didn't sound like he was going to be able to go. So then all of a sudden he changed his tune and said, well, maybe we shouldn't be playing at all. But he wasn't going to play anyways. So, I mean, Kyrie's just a weird dude. And we've talked about this at length. He's a weird guy. He's very, he's a hard read, Mike. I think that's probably what I'm going to say. He's a hard read. And you know, he comes out and says, he organizes this coalition of players, and we don't really know all the people that were involved. Avery Bradley's the one that was also kind of put on there, and there was a lot of discussion on what that meant. And you know, I think it's interesting, you know, all this going on. But I think the telling sign was Lou Williams' tweet. Mike, you saw Lou Williams' tweet, right?
I did not see it.
Lou Williams' tweet. He was. He said, if the King says we're playing.
No, that was Patrick Beverly.
Oh, Patrick Beverly.
That's why I didn't see it.
That's why you didn't see it, because Lou Williams tweeted. But Patrick Beverly's tweet was, if the King says we're playing, you all know we're playing or something along those lines. So I think, you know, I think the season's going to happen. It'll be interesting to see that a part of the plan and package says that players have to notify the NBA / their teams if they're going to participate by the 24th. So they have until next Wednesday to make that decision. If you had to guess, Mike, how many players are going to sit out? Do you really think that Dwight Howard and Avery Bradley are going to sit out being on the Lakers?
I don't think it gets to double digits. I really don't. I would be very, very surprised. Only because, like I said, I don't think there's a clear-cut plan. If you do sit out, what is it that you're going to be doing from an activism standpoint? Now, maybe these guys have more of a plan than what has been put out there publicly, and maybe there is something that they are going to do or can be doing that you and I aren't aware of right now. But it just seems to me, again, that the platform to get in front of more people, to be able to share the message, especially when you – in light of the memo that the league put out, that there's going to be this level of cooperation between the Players Association and the league owners to try to really start to make an impact. And maybe this quarantine within the bubble is the first step toward the NBA trying to contribute to making meaningful change. Again, there was no hint at all as to what that actually means. I know there was some talk in the one article that I read where Avery Bradley was just talking about the fact that the NBA and the players being active on these issues isn't enough anymore. It has to be the owners have to come out and take action, denounce some of the things that have gone on, and be more involved in all these different issues that have caused the protests and that the players are speaking out on. And so I think that's where I just don't know what the right tactic is for the players. To me, like I said, I think it's better for you to be inside of the bubble where there's going to be media coverage. You're going to have the opportunity to speak your mind, you would have to assume, versus when you're on the outside. I just don't know what your alternative plan is. If I hear what the alternative plan is and there's actually something that they can do to affect change while they're outside the bubble and not playing, fantastic, more power to you. But I haven't seen any of those plans. And conversely, I guess the counter argument to that is I haven't seen any plans for what's going to go on inside the bubble either. I mean, the NBA said there's going to be things that they're going to try to work on and improve. But in that memo, there was no specifics laid out. It's interesting. And then I just wanted to say one thing with the Kyrie piece of it, and then we can kind of move on to more of the logistics of the bubble. But Kyrie coming out on whatever it was, June 5th, saying that he wants to come down there even though he's not going to play. And at that point, the protests were already going on and things were already happening. And then here we are 12 days later, and he's leading this group that is questioning whether or not they should go back in and play. And again, they have every right to question whether they should go back in and play. I think all of us, every single day, there's things that I do that I question related to the virus. Should I be doing this? Should I not be doing this? Should I have my kids doing this? Should I not have them doing it? And I don't think anybody knows the right answer. And I think any player who decides not to go in there, I have complete respect, whether it's for the virus, whether it's as a result of the social injustices, whatever it is, totally fine. I'm fine with that. But yeah. Kyrie seems like, and he's done this before, that there's a lot of flip-flopping of what it is that
he'd be a good politician, Mike.
Yeah, what he says that he wants. He tells one group of constituents one thing, and then he tells another group of constituents something else. That's where it's strange.
The one thing I will say is I think the biggest chance of people holding out are these players if they're not guaranteed some kind of insurance, Mike. Because these young guys that are due contracts at the end of this year, I think that would be the big question mark. I can't imagine a Jason Tatum or someone like that sitting out because that's just not in their blood. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's a few, because they're, especially if they're like a team, like they're on the, I don't have the list of who the free agents are in the offseason here. By the way, our free agency episodes are going to be a little crazy because it's going to be like 3 days long.
It's going to be very compressed, it seems.
Yeah, but anyways, like, is there someone on the Wizards that's a free agent that's a decent get like doesn't want to go out there because there's zero chance the Wizards are going to be even playing in the play-in game. Okay, there's zero chance. They got invited. I don't know. It was a sympathy vote or something. I don't know. Maybe they didn't want just eight East teams and all the other West teams. I mean, that's probably why. And they also needed an even number, so Washington got thrown in there. Okay, but is there someone on one of these teams that if they play in the eight regular season games and say someone blows out their knee in those eight regular season games? Okay, and I know injuries are part of the game, but they've got to have some kind of assurances for these guys because they're coming back after this long period of time. And yes, there's a training camp, but there's zero turnaround. So if a guy blows his knees out, he's out. He's out all next year. There's no chance they're playing next year. You know what I mean? So I think that would be the biggest sticking point. You know, as much as we've talked about the social injustice, as much as we've talked about the virus, I really think that's going to be where there's going to be some players that might sit out.
It's possible. I don't know. I still think that for the vast majority of players that they just want to play. And I think that, I guess if you look at the long-term paycheck of if you're going to be a free agent this summer and you're going to get a chance to sign a long-term deal or sign a deal that you're going to make a little bit more money on, but they're still not going to get paid if they don't go play and they're forfeiting whatever it was, 1/92nd of their salary for every game that they miss, up to a total of 14 games. And for every guy in the league, regardless of what salary level you're at, that's a significant chunk of money that you're going to miss out on if you don't go and play. And I know you balance that against potentially the amount of money that you'd make in your next contract, and it seems pretty small. But in the moment, when you have a choice of, hey, I could go play basketball for 3 months and pick up the rest of my check, or I can stay home and not do it and not pick up the check, it seems unlikely that there would be that many guys that would not go pick up that check if there aren't these other issues involved for them for whatever reason, whether it's the Black Lives Matter or whether it's the virus itself. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. Like I said, I don't think the number gets above 10 of guys that decide they're going to stay home. But I don't know. That's my thought.
All right. Okay, so now we're going to just unpack these, and we're going to unpack as much as we can in the next 45 minutes. We'll see how much we get done, Mike.
All right, let's do it.
All right, so the first thing is we'll talk about NBA players. NBA players have been informed that anyone who leaves the Orlando campus without prior approval will be subject to a 10 to 14 day self-quarantine, reduction in compensation, and enhanced testing. And then Shams put in parentheses, deep nasal swab.
Okay, well, let me just say this. Have you seen a video of what that deep nasal swab
looks
like?
Yes, I don't want anything to do with it.
Okay, so let me just say this. And I may have said this on the podcast. I think I actually talked about it when we had my former coach, Coach Grube, on the show. When I broke my nose, the worst pain I have ever experienced in my life was after my broken nose and I had to have surgery and my nose had to be, quote, packed. And so they had gauze or whatever it was that they put up in there. And I think I had that in for maybe 2 days, 3 days, maybe something like that. And then I had to go back into the doctor and they pulled it out. And I've described that to people who've asked me when I've said to them, it's the worst pain I've ever experienced. They're like, what do you mean? And I'd say, if you've ever seen a magician who has the handkerchiefs in his sleeve and he keeps pulling them out and pulling them out and pulling them out and pulling them out, that's what it felt like when they were pulling that gauze out of my nose. It literally felt like they were pulling it from back in the back of my skull all the way over the top of my head and out through my nose. It was excruciating. So I can't imagine that the deep nasal swab test for COVID-19 is going to be any more fun than what I experienced when I had a broken nose. So let's put it this way. If you don't know what that feels like and you're an NBA player and you get an opportunity to feel what that feels like, you are not going to be excited to have a deep nasal swab. Yeah. Let's just put it that way.
That might be enough incentive to not go outside the bubble. I mean, seriously. All right. So then the next thing, inside the Orlando bubble, NBA players will have the option of wearing a ring that could help with early detection of coronavirus, track temperature, respiratory, and heart rate. So they have the option. So they're not being required to wear these, Mike. It sounds like kind of almost like what they're doing in Germany, except it doesn't say, it does not say GPS on there, Mike.
So that's just a health monitor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which I could see if I'm a player. Although, here's the other interesting piece of that. So if you're the player, you're wearing that ostensibly to make it easier for yourself and for the league to detect that you have the virus, correct?
Yes.
So I'm not trying to be naive here, but I'm guessing that most athletes, the same way that they look at telling the trainer that they're injured, although maybe I'm just being old school here, but I would think that what I would want to do as a player is try to avoid detection that I have the virus or avoid detection that I have a twisted ankle and I'm not allowed to play. I don't really want to go see the trainer because I don't want to miss out on playing. So I would guess that the number of guys that would volunteer to wear that thing would be pretty low. Would be my guess.
Yeah, it's almost the same thing as, you know, PGA Tour golf came back this past weekend, Mike. That's the thing where you take the stick and you hit the ball and into the hole. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
So they gave the players the option to wear a mic during the round. One player out of the whole 125-person field volunteered. Okay, Mike? He didn't make the cut, so they didn't have anyone with mics on. It's almost the same thing. They don't want people listening into their things. Like, the NBA players want nothing to do with that. There's zero chance they're going to... You might have someone like... Like if Dylan Windler was, if the Cavs were there, maybe Dylan Windler would wear it. Like
somebody who's looking for some publicity, huh?
Yeah. So,
all right. What about this other alarm that is going to notify a player if they spend more than 5 seconds within 6 feet of another person who's also wearing an alarm?
That sounds really bizarre. Like
I can't imagine. Like, okay, I'm imagining it as like a smartwatch. Let's just say I know maybe it's not. Maybe it's like a pedometer that you clip onto your belt. And so you and I are standing there and I'm 5.5 feet away from you. And all of a sudden, both of our alarms start beeping maniacally and we have to back up. That seems like another thing that I'm not sure that anybody's going to necessarily be that excited.
Well, I don't understand the point. Like, to be honest with you, if you don't, what's that mean? Like, what is there, is that going to, and since it's voluntary, I can't see a lot of players doing that either.
I guess it's just going to warn you if you don't have a good concept of distance, if you have a hard time judging what 6 feet is, you can be alarmed and notified that you're getting too close. Yeah, to me, neither one of those are things that I don't see very many players volunteering to wear either of those, because the first one, the value to the player is very little. It's not like I want the league to find out that I have the virus, so I have to sit out games. I guess. If you think about it from the collective, it makes sense where if I'm a player and I'm concerned about the collective health of my teammates, the league itself, all the players, all the people that are in the bubble, then sure, I want to find out as soon as I have it so I can be quarantined and not spread it to everyone else. But we all know that there's certainly a selfish component to human nature where if I can hide that thing for as long as I can so I can continue to play, I think I'd lean towards probably doing that. But I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. As far as schedule, we went over the schedule last episode, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time. But they are going to play some three scrimmage games between July 22nd and July 29th. But you're only going to play against teams that are in the same hotel as you. So the NBA has put them in three separate hotels. They've put them in the Grand Destino. And they grouped you based on your playoff seating currently. Okay? So Grand Destino Tower, which is the new tower right across the street. So if you're the best teams, you got that place. So you don't have to travel
far. Okay, so hold on. Wait. So I got to ask you a question here. So I'm in no way, shape, or form familiar with the Grand Destino. I do know the Grand Floridian. I have been in the pool there and walked.
Whoa, look at you, Mike. You got inside Disney knowledge here. Here we go.
So I do know that's a nice resort. And then I have no idea what the Yacht Club is.
Yacht Club's a nice place, too.
So is there Are those three places comparable, or
So I would say that the Floridian was probably the nicest of the three, but it's also the furthest of the three from where they're playing.
Gotcha. So you think they might have tried to balance the location with the amenities to try to even it out so that nobody is getting. I guess what I'm saying is nobody's staying at the Ritz-Carlton, and then the other people Super 8.
So the Grand Destino Tower has only been open for about a year. I don't even think it's been open for a year. So it's relatively new. Obviously, the Grand Floridian is not new. My guess, and this is, I have nothing to base this on, but I believe the Grand Floridian has part of the Disney Vacation Clubs. Like they have a nice suites. That would be my guess, is that's where they're putting the players, in the nicer suites. And Grandestino's got pretty nice accommodations. And then I'll be honest with you, I've never been in the yacht club, so I can't speak to the yacht club at all. I've heard good things, but I've never been there. So I can't really speak to that. But what I will say is Grandestino's right across the street from the World Wild Sports. Grand Floridian's obviously all the way back by Magic Kingdom. It's literally on the loop. That's the one that's actually questionable to me, Mike. And here's why. Because there's going to be a lot of people in and out of that place. Because of the other two will not have nearly as much high traffic. But, I mean, anyone that rides a monorail to Disney World is going to be going through Grand Floridian. Because it's in the route to go there. Unless they just completely shut off the monorail to Grand Floridian and you can't get off there. But that's a pretty high traffic.
They're not going to let anybody get off there. Like, it's only going to be the NBA in there. They're not going to be actual paying Disney customers staying in any of these places, are there?
Well, so Grandestino Tower. So here's my thing. The Grandestino Tower shares a lot of its amenities with Coronado Springs, which is the actual original resort was the Coronado Springs, but then they built the Grandestino Tower as like an add-on. So it's like a second hotel within the same complex. From what I've read, there's still going to be people staying there, like at the separate building. So I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Disney hasn't come out and confirmed any of this. So that's the other thing, is there's a lot of people, and I'm a part of the Disney Facebook group that Jeremy Stein runs. He's kind of said, well, we're not going to report or talk about anything until we hear about it. So Disney hasn't put anything out there, but there's someone in the group that says they have a hotel resort reservation for Coronado Springs at the end of July, and it hasn't been canceled yet. So
I just can't believe that the NBA is going to I can't believe they're going to do that. Like, I can't believe they're going to have all this personnel, the players, everybody in the league having to quarantine, not being able to leave, and then you're just going to have random dudes coming in there and staying in the same hotel.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine? Like at Coronado, there's basketball courts so that they can do practice stuff. Could you imagine just some random gym? Average Joe walking by and be like, oh, look at this NBA team is practicing. I want to go hoop it up with them or something like that.
Hey, there's Kawhi Leonard playing shuffleboard. Let's see if I can get winners.
We'll get into that in a second here.
I just don't see. I would be stunned if there's other people on any of these resorts or hotels or whoever. I don't know. I would be stunned.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. And like the yacht club, that's part of the yacht and beach club. So there's a whole nother building in there that is not being used. They've only specified that the NBA is using the yacht club, so that would make me assume that there's random Disney guests are still using the beach club. I could be completely wrong, Mike, but I'm just making these assumptions based on the fact of what the information that we've been given. So a lot like how we're feeling with how we don't know how to handle the coronavirus, I don't know what's the case, and I guess they'll have to share that information. And one way or another, Mike, we'll know, because Disney's either going to come out and say these resorts are completely shut down, or the whole time the NBA is there, we're going to get lots of social media posts of Kawhi playing shuffleboard. Or,
well, I think as soon as we end the podcast, you should start trying to make some reservations at one of these hotels.
Well,
during the time the NBA is there.
I would love to do that, but I don't think that's going to happen. So,
all right, well,
sorry. All right, so here we go. So NBA teams have been informed of required positions for 35-person traveling party. So there's only allowed to have 35 people in the traveling party. Okay, they have to have an athletic trainer. They have to have their strength and conditioning coach. They have to have their equipment manager, and they have to have the team security official. So those four people have to be included. Each team can also include a player's private personal trainer, massage therapist, or security, but those people all count towards the 35. So basically what we're saying here is that the Lakers aren't going to bring anyone extra because LeBron's going to have everything. He's just going to have everything taken care of. Right, Mike? I mean, he's going to have all those things.
I guess. I don't know. I don't know what the league, I don't know what the teams are going to, what they're going to do, how they're going to feel. I have no idea. Are they going to say you just cater to your top two players and each of those guys gets to bring their team of people that works on their body and helps them with all the things that they do? Or are you going to bring a second player development coach, or are you going to bring the assistant to the traveling secretary? I don't know. I don't know who it's going to be or what it's going to be. I guess it comes down to, it's going to be some interesting decisions for front offices to make about how much you want to keep your star players happy or how much you want to tick them off.
Yep. In NBA's Orlando campus, and this is my favorite part of all the tweets. These are all things that are going to be there. And if this makes me think summer camp back, like just basketball summer camp. It sounds like a fantastic time. Hotel amenities, players only lounge with NBA 2K, TVs and gaming, pool trails, barbers, manicurists, pedicurists. Now, my summer camps didn't have any of those things, but exciting. 24-hour VIP concierge, daily entertainment, movie screenings, DJ sets, video games, ping pong, pool, lawn games. My favorite thing, players can attend other games.
I saw that.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. The fact that you're going to get to be able to have players going to games, that is fun. And that will be fun to see. And I'll be curious to know how many guys will go and watch other games. I will bet that there will be guys that will not set foot in the stands to watch another game. And I will bet there will be guys that will be at 80% of the other team's games who are just junkies or want to hang out or whatever it might be. So, yeah, I think that was definitely something that we had talked about earlier on a couple other podcasts, whether or not players would be allowed to go and watch other games. And I'm glad to hear that they can do that, because to me that just adds an element of fun, that if you're sitting there and you're watching – a Lakers Clippers game and Giannis and the Bucks are sitting in the stands watching, it would be interesting to see like who they're rooting for and if they're clapping or what, you know, the dunk reactions and crazy shots and all that stuff. Kind of like you see at the slam dunk contest or the 3-point contest during All-Star weekend. To me, that's very fun. Very fun.
Yeah.
And then the other stuff, like the daily entertainment, like I said, I just can't see where you're going to have a ping pong table set up and, you know, Tony from South Carolina is going to show up and be like, "Hey man, want to play some ping pong?" Like, because he's staying at the same resort. I just can't see where that's going to happen. This is where, as you said, they need to have some documentary cameras following these guys around to see who's the ping pong champion and who's going to win the shuffleboard and what movies these guys are going to see and all this other stuff. Lawn games. Is there going to be a big cornhole tournament?
No. Are they going to play quarters and have the security guards with Jordan's? Listen, maybe. I'm telling you right now, Mike, there's going to be so much money being traded hands here, like betting. There's going to be so much wagers going on with all these games.
You would have to think so. What about jarts? You think they're going to be playing jarts?
One of my favorite follows on Twitter for NBA information and memes and things, Worldwide Wob tweeted, there's going to be so much shenanigans and tampering going on during this Disney things. It's pretty, you know, it could be pretty interesting. I would love to see the NBA do a documentary on this. And I have to imagine that's in their head. I mean,
are guys going to be sneaking into other guys' dorms?
Well, go on. Listen, someone said James Harden's going to be really sad because it doesn't, because strippers weren't a part of the list that's allowed in the campus.
I did see that. I saw this. It was a Stephen A. Smith meme, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw that one.
So then also some other things that Shams tweeted out was the different field houses and arenas. There's the three different ones. I mean, two of them look like bigger stadiums. One looks more like a high school situation, I would say. It's interesting. I don't know if you have anything on that. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of practice courts. That's going to be the, like, how are they going to handle the practices? I don't know what the answer to that question is.
Yeah, I'm not sure. We talked about that last week, where I don't know how they're going to fit all these teams in and get them all practices. Clearly, when before the games start, then I think there'll probably be adequate time for them to be able to play, and you'll just have your time slot and you'll come in and practice, and then they'll sanitize or do whatever they need to do and leave the proper amount of time in between so that they can do that before the next team comes in. Once you start playing games, I think then that probably becomes a little bit more of a challenge, especially when you're talking about the regular season, when you have 22 teams that are playing and then having to practice and having, I'm assuming they're going to have an off day. So you'll play and then have a day off and then play again is basically the way I'm assuming the schedule is going to end up going, both in the regular season and in the playoffs. So I think they'll be able to carve out time, but I think they're logistically, it'll be interesting to see how they go about doing that.
Yep. So then the next tweet, oh, by the way, I forgot to mention during the Orlando campus, one of the activities they can do, and I have to pull up Zach Lowe's because that was the guy. Zach Lowe tweeted, they can do excursions, Mike. This is exciting. Such as privatized restaurants, boating, bowling, fishing, golf, and more. And they could also include excursions to the NBA experience, which by all accounts, that's the new thing at Disney Springs. I don't know why the NBA players would go to the NBA experience unless they're getting paid to go so that they can promote it, because it's supposedly terrible. The Disney's Animal Kingdom or the Disney's Wild Africa Trek. And I wanted to do that so bad, Mike. It's a lot of money to do it normally, but if they're going to make it available to NBA players, I definitely think they would be doing.
Okay, what's the Wild Africa
Trek? So they take you behind the scenes of. So at Disney's Animal Kingdom, they have like a safari ride. It's called Kilimanjaro. Have you been on it?
Oh, yeah, I've been on that.
Oh, hey, look at you. So, but they take you behind the scenes and they, like, you get to see more of the stuff, like what happens, like, back
okay,
there.
Okay, I got you. All right.
It's kind of like Jurassic Park. They take you out in jeeps and let you see stuff up close and personal.
Okay, all right.
So I think that would be pretty cool. I mean, my parents have always talked about doing it, but I think it's like over $1,000 to do it. So
What about dinner with the princesses?
Well,
is that going to be
available? There is a culinary experience. Each team will have a dedicated Disney culinary team. But they'll be able to have some culinary experiences as well. Maybe.
All right. That sounds fair.
So listen, I kind of wish I was an NBA player because this all sounds fantastic to me. I don't know. I mean, I would love it.
This is a VIP Disney vacation.
I know. I wish
you
like
you should have worked harder when you were a kid.
Well, if they had the all in challenge, you know, they have all those all in challenges right now for COVID relief. If they would have had one of those get to experience 2 days at Disney like an NBA player, I would have been on that thing like. Way on rice, man. I would have been.
All right. That's fair.
Okay. So, anyways, all right. Back to what we were saying. All right. The schedule for game day schedule. Did you read this whole thing?
Oh, I did. Just showing how the meals are going to be and the 15-minute.
Well, they've got the schedule, and then they're going to have like a It's a transportation to hotel. They basically lay out the whole game day schedule. Now, this. They said illustration for a schedule at 7 p.m. game. This is making me believe, Mike, that they're only going to do evening games. Because I don't know how you do all of these things if you have afternoon games.
This says illustration of a schedule for a 7 p.m.
game. I know, but like if you look at how much time is being spent to do each step, how do you do a 2 o'clock game?
You don't. I mean, I think you just, some of these things get some of these things get skipped. Like, don't they have in here, like, I think the one thing they have, like, a nap listed in there, like, player.
Yeah, downtime at hotel.
Yeah. So what does it say?
Blow like, it's off. 3 hours. Yeah, you're right.
So I mean, I think that there's ways that they're going to do it. I would guess there's going to have to be, especially when we're talking summertime, there's going to have to be some afternoon games at some point in order to get all these games in. But maybe you play, again, maybe there's a 4 o'clock game, a 7 o'clock game, and a 10 o'clock game. Is that enough if you have 3 games a day? And don't forget, you could theoretically be playing a 4 o'clock, a 7 o'clock, and a 10 o'clock on 3 different courts. So is that enough? I mean, I don't know. I haven't crunched the numbers.
I think they should put
schedule.
A mercy rule into these games, Mike.
You think
Can they do that?
Well, let's put it this way. If they have games going concurrently, they certainly can switch off their TV coverage to a different game.
Well, I think they're going to broadcast all 3 at the same time. They're going to have
Yeah, I agree. They're going to have to find whatever channels, you know, I don't know how they're working it.
I think it's going to be like
ESPN and TNT.
Well, ESPN, I think there's going to be they should do it ESPN ABC gets a game, ESPN gets a game, ESPN 2 or ESPN, ESPN 2 and maybe NBA TV gets one game because that probably makes sense, right? I mean, I know it's being broadcasted at Disney, but they're going to have to work something out. And TNT is going to get some games too. You've got to imagine that they're going to work them into it because you don't want to go the rest of the season without the TNT crew in the games. Like,
yeah, it's going to be split up between the networks in some way, shape, or form. So, yeah, all the games are going to be televised clearly.
Yeah. So, the board where we talk about this, I just getting excited for NBA basketball to be back because it'll be good for everyone. I think there's lots of positives. We'll talk about that in a minute here. I'm trying to think. Sources, the NBA will have 2 rows on bench. First row will be players and coaches. No mask required, but recommended that coaches wear masks. Second row, other players and coaches must wear masks at all times, unless active player.
So does that mean there's going to be active players in the second row of the bench?
I'm guessing if you're playing, they haven't announced how many players are going to be a member of the active roster, right, Mike? They haven't said it. I have not seen anything on that.
Well, I thought they were going to have the two. They were still, I know there was the discussion of the two-way players and whether or not they were going to be part of the active roster or whether they were going to
I've not seen any confirmation on that.
Whether they were going to even be in Orlando to begin with, that maybe they might have to bring them in if somebody gets hurt. It seems to me that would be silly because if somebody gets the virus and has to go down and now you've got to bring them in and they've got to quarantine for 36 hours and take all these tests before they can come in and play, then by the time they're ready to play, you could have lost 2 games and be out of the playoffs. So it seems like they would want to have those guys on site with the rest of the team. I think the interesting part of that is, besides just figuring out who's going to sit where, is how many coaches do you think wear a mask?
Greg Popovich will wear a mask.
Yeah, maybe. But it just seems like it would be difficult to communicate with that on.
Yeah, but you got to remember, there's not going to be any piped in. I mean, other than the other NBA players watching the game, there's not going to be any piped in mute sounds.
Right. But when you're walking around and you're trying to communicate, like even when I go into a store and I'm wearing the mask and I'm trying to talk to a clerk or whatever, it's still uncomfortable. Like you can't read anyone's facial expressions. It's disconcerting. And when you're in the thick of a game and you're trying to communicate something and you've got that mask on, I don't know. I think the percentage of coaches who are going to wear those masks are going to be very, very low. I would be surprised if that number is more than 5.
Yeah. Well, you're probably true there. I would guess you're right.
Just because again, it's uncomfortable. And especially you're talking about wearing it for a 3-hour game where if you're a coach, it's not like you're just standing there. I mean, you're talking all the time and you're trying to communicate. And part of being able to communicate is having people see your facial expressions and all those kinds of things. And so it's just uncomfortable. And it's not like you're not in an intense environment where you're going to be sweating and active and whatever. It's not going to be any different from that standpoint. So I would be dubious that coaches are going to wear it. Plus with all the testing going on, the theory is that you're at a reduced risk anyway of getting the virus because of all the things that have gone on to get the situation to where it is now.
Refs will not be required to wear masks. Makes sense.
They're running up and down the floor.
Yep. Okay. Per NBA health and safety protocols for return, all players, team staff, and guests will be required to certify in writing that they will adhere to all pre-arrival rules and league rules while on campus. So it sounds like it'll be interesting, Mike, because, I mean, a lot of NBA players probably partake in some illegal activities. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to get any further than that. But they're not going to be able to. I can't imagine that they're going to be able to do it, right, Mike?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't think. Again, that goes back to what we talked about off the top, that the NBA will create an anonymous hotline to report potential violations of protocols in Orlando.
I could see,
is comedy. That's comedy waiting to happen. That's all I could say.
You could see Patrick Beverly calling, saying LeBron James is smoking reefer in room 467. Go check it out. Like
at four in the morning, and somebody's got to go knock on his door, try to find out, or just. Or just, hey, I heard some guys from the Wizards were thinking about sneaking out tonight and going and grabbing some hamburgers at McDonald's off campus.
Hey, there is a McDonald's in Disney World campus, Mike. Did you know that?
What's a famous Orlando restaurant that's outside of the Disney campus?
I don't know. Planet Hollywood?
All right, there you go.
Oh no, Planet Hollywood's at Disney Springs. It used to be outside campus. I don't know.
Maybe they're sneaking over to go to Universal Studios and ride the Harry Potter rides. How about that?
I just needed to go to Gringotts, Dad.
That's right. There you go. That's it.
All right.
To me, the anonymous hotline is the funniest part of this whole thing.
Failure to comply with protocols subjects a player to potential discipline such as warning, fine, suspension, or removal from campus. The NBA protocol for positive coronavirus test, enter immediate isolation, separate location, isolation housing, retest to confirm positive, exit isolation after consecutive negative tests, and return to activities.
I mean, that seems reasonable.
Reasonable. All that reasonable. Theoretically, Mike, it sounds like the NBA has done their due diligence. I really think they didn't rush out. I mean, we had heard leaks of how things were going to roll, but I genuinely think that they did their due diligence in trying to create a plan that makes the most sense.
Plus, Dr. Fauci said it's quite creative. He thinks they might very well be successful with it.
Well, listen, Dr. Fauci is kind of taking a sideline. I don't know where he's been the last 2 weeks because he has
disappeared from the public.
That's intentional, I'm assuming. I mean, he did say today, did you see the thing that he said today, Mike?
I did not.
He said, I don't remember if it was, I don't know what it was on, but they asked him about the mask. Like, why weren't they telling you to wear masks earlier? And they said they decided as a group that we would cause panic if we told people to wear masks sooner because there weren't enough products for people. Did you see that or no?
I did not see that.
So yeah, he did say that today. So
okay. Good job, Dr. Fauci.
Dr. Fauci coming out there and spitting truth. Anyways, so I don't know if there's anything else from today's NBA release that you find interesting. I definitely think the anonymous tip line is pretty hilarious. I think, you know, like I said, the plan seems sound. We really have to see it in practice as to how it's going to look. And I'm really just interested to see, like, when the games start, how it's going to be structured. That's my next thing that I want to know. Like, yeah, I want to know how teams are going to play, but I'm just intrigued by the fact of what's the schedule each day going to look like? Because quite frankly, if we get into, you know, the first week of August and we're getting 10 games, I don't know how many games a day we're going to get, but like having a bunch of games a day and literally, I could park my butt in front of the TV from 5 p.m. till midnight, 12:30, 1 o'clock, and there's games going on. That's going to be pretty awesome. I'm just saying. I think it's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, it'll be exciting for the league to be back. I think everybody who is a fan of the NBA will be excited to have the players back on the floor and the teams back competing. And I do think that the way they've set it up with the amount of time they're going to have for training camp and then playing the three scrimmage games and then playing eight regular season games.
Will they air those scrimmage games, do you think, Mike?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I think they will in some form or fashion. Maybe they don't air the whole game. Maybe they show bits and pieces. But I can't imagine that you're going to have actual NBA players out on the floor competing against each other. And the league is not in some way, shape, or form going to put that on TV for people to watch. So I think what they've set up is a situation where if we get to the playoffs, that the team should be ready. And by that point, the players, coaches, referees, TV viewers, I think will have had some time to be able to adjust to the new normal of there not being very many people in the stands. Because I think at first that's going to be very disconcerting just because these guys aren't used to playing that way. There's always people in the crowds. So to have no crowd there, I think is going to be an adjustment. But because of the amount of games that they're going to play prior to meaningful playoff games being played, I think they're going to get over that sort of odd feeling that they're going to have the first couple times they go out and play with nobody in the stands.
Now, I have a question, Mike.
Okay.
They didn't address families in this, and I didn't see anything about the families in this, but I'm pretty sure I read, like, once they get to the playoffs, like, all the teams are going to get removed. Do you think if we get down to the final four teams, okay, and then we get to the finals, they're going to allow those two other teams if they would like to? I mean, I don't know if an NBA player is going to want to sit and watch the two teams they just lost to play for the NBA championship. Do you think they will allow the players to stay if they choose to? Or no?
That's a great question. I would guess that they probably will.
Because then at least you have some people in the stands. Like,
right.
I, you know what I mean?
But if you're – yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting question. As a player, you could see the attraction in wanting to stick around maybe and watch because you love basketball.
Two more weeks away from basketball your kids. Fan.
But I also think by that point, if you're talking about staying to watch the finals, you'll have been – in this isolation period for 2.5 months, it seems pretty unlikely that guys would stick around. They could just go home and watch it on their 70-inch TV.
But if they're a young kid or something.
Yeah, if you don't have family to go home to, you don't have kids, you don't have a spouse, then maybe you might stick around. I could see that. But there's not going to be I don't think there would be a huge majority of players that would stick around. But it'll be interesting to see if the league allows that. I think, to me, and this is what I've been saying for weeks, and it finally started coming out, I think, a lot between last week and this week, prior to the stuff with players talking about not wanting to go because of the social justice piece of it. And you started to see people questioning whether it was smart to go back in there as a result of the virus. And I still think, to me, the virus and potentially players getting it is still, I think, the biggest threat to them being able to finish this thing out and take it all the way through its entirety of the finals. To me, it just seems like there's tremendous chances, odds that a player's going to get it. They're going to infect multiple teammates. And some of those teammates, especially with the testing being as strict as it is, it seems like you're going to have a good percentage of players that are going to come down with the virus. And even if they're asymptomatic and even if their lives are not in danger, they're going to be forced to sit out until they get those two positive tests and they're isolated. And that could have a huge, huge impact on what this ends up looking like. And if enough guys on one team get it, what happens? What happens if the Clippers have 7 guys that come down with the coronavirus and they only can suit up 7 or 8 guys, and the 7 or 8 guys are suiting up are made up of a mix of guys at the end of the
Mike
bench
Klinzing,
two starters. What does that look like? Is that fair? Is that reasonable? Is there a way that are they going to build in a situation where if multiple players on a team get it and it's the wrong players, where they have an opportunity to suspend a particular playoff series for 5 days. If they're in the middle, if it's game between games 3 and 4 between the Clippers and the Lakers and 7 Clippers come down with the virus, Do they just continue on the every other day schedule, or do they say we're going to shut this series down for 5 or 6 days until we can get it back? I think they have to keep moving simply because of the timeline, and simply because if you shut down one series, there's a chance that you're going to have to shut down another one, or maybe those guys come back healthy and then suddenly a bunch of guys on the other team have it. So it seems like they're going to have to march on, but I don't know. I think the odds of it making it, as I've said, all the way through to the end and not having something weird happen where a superstar gets it or multiple players on a team gets it and it impacts their depth or has a effect on the competitive balance within a series, I don't know. I think the odds are pretty low that we're going to go all the way through this thing and have it run perfectly and guys are going to stay healthy and no team is going to be affected and no superstar is going to be affected. I don't know. I don't see that happening.
Do you envision any poisonous pizzas during this time?
I do not envision poisonous pizza. So, I don't envision poisonous pizza. I'll leave it there.
Well, I just think, Lily, I think you've got some valid points and some. I think that there is the potential for disaster here, Mike. I'll be honest. There's definitely a potential for disaster, but I would much take the potential of disaster over nothing.
I agree. I think they have to. I think the league has to try it. I think that they'd be silly at this point not to give it an effort to try to get back. And as you said earlier, it certainly seems like they've dotted their I's and crossed their T's in terms of the planning for what this is going to look like. And obviously, we don't have the entire plan in front of us, so we don't know what all the protocols are going
to
be.
Hey, Adam Silver, you can send that to us at mike@hoopheadspod.com.
That's it. Thank you, Adam. So, I don't know. I think they're going to have done as much due diligence as they possibly can. And yet, I still think this thing is fraught with possibilities, as you said, that it goes in the wrong direction because a star gets it at the wrong time or an entire team or a majority of one team gets it. And then you end up with, okay, what do we do now? This team can only suit up 7 players and 3/4 of their starters are gone. 4/5 of their starting lineup has the virus. What do you do at that point? I think that's where the questions become a little tougher for the NBA to be able to answer, is how do you handle that situation? And then if you have a situation like that or multiple situations like that, or you have a situation like that that occurs in the finals, let's just say it ends up being Lakers-Bucks and one of LeBron or Giannis comes down with the virus in the middle of that series. What happens? I mean, clearly if you just continue on and one of those guys has to sit out, it doesn't look the same. It doesn't feel the same. It's not going to carry the same weight if one or both of those guys ends up being out because of something that happens in the middle of that series. So at that point, would you delay it if it's the finals? Maybe you would. I don't know. There's a lot of things that can go wrong. There's a lot of things that would have to go right for this to end up with on October 12th that we have a champion that everybody's going to say, wow, that was very, very similar to what a normal playoff would have looked like. And I hope that's what happens, but there's just a lot of things that can go wrong.
Listen, there's a lot of things that can go wrong. We must not forget that Dion Waiters is a member of the Los Angeles Lakers, and we finally are going to get to see him on the floor with his good buddy LeBron again. So let's not forget that fun fact, Mike.
Well, you may want to send Dion a message that there's an anonymous tip line where people can report guys who aren't following the protocol.
Illegal gummies?
You just may want to let Dion know that prying eyes are watching and there's an anonymous hotline they can call him out on. Listen.
We'll see what happens, Mike. I think by next week when we're talking again, we'll definitely have some more information because, maybe we will hear about players that have chosen not to participate at that point because the deadline is next Wednesday. So we'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting. It'll be interesting to see if anything comes out prior to that deadline. If players start coming out and saying, hey, I'm not going to play. Like I said, I don't anticipate that being a big number. I think eventually everybody's going to come to the realization that they can have a bigger impact by going back and playing and using the NBA's platform as a major sport that's going to be back, that people are dying to be able to watch. I think that that's going to be something that players are going to want to take advantage of. But we'll see. We'll see. It'll be very, very interesting. I don't know if there's anything else. I think we pretty much covered all the issues that are occurring today. Is there anything else that you think that we need to talk about?
Nope. I'm just excited to have the NBA back and have us have conversations that aren't just about the planning stages. So let's get this thing rolling. That's what I say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It'll be fun to talk basketball when and hopefully if.
Hold on. Shams just dropped another tweet, Mike. I got to read this. Sorry. Mandatory for everyone to wear an NBA bubble magic bands, which function as room key security checkpoints, coronavirus testing check-ins. So for you, I don't know that you were at Disney since the magic bands were a thing. Have you been to Disney since magic bands are a thing?
No, I'm not aware.
So they're like a little wrist. They're like a wristband that you have to wear. It, you know, you can effectively not have anything else when you go in the park. You literally don't have your wallet or anything. You scan your magic band to get into the park. You scan your magic band to go into the hotel room. You scan your magic band to purchase anything. You scan your magic band if you like are getting your photos taken, and then save the photos. All that stuff is magic band. So this makes sense to me, and it'll be a good way for them to keep track of people. Those magic bands, Mike, Disney doesn't tell people this, have GPS in them.
All right, well, the secret's out, man.
The secret's out. You have to be within the confines of their Wi-Fi, though. It's their Wi-Fi enabled. So,
well, we'll have to see. Maybe the players will know how to. They'll have their technology officers, their personal technology officers, disarm those GPSs on the magic bands. We'll see. It's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. All right, before we wrap up, just a couple housekeeping things. This week's Hoopheads Pod webinar is with Lee Swanson from Bunker Hill High School in North Carolina. He's going to be talking about building an authentic championship culture. So if you haven't registered for that, go to hoopheadspod.com/webinars. We launched the very first episode of Thrive with Trevor Huffman, which is the first show on our newly created Hoopheads Pod network. Episode one is up both on the Thrive feed, and we also released it on our original Hoopheads Pod feed. So please check out that show with Trevor. We got a couple more shows coming very, very soon. Beyond the Ball with Justin Gerstung and Eric Klump will be coming out soon. And then the CoachMaze.com podcast will follow that relatively, I'd say within probably another week or two, we'll have that show out as well. So looking forward to putting those out onto the network, out onto the airwaves. We hope you'll follow and check out all the new podcasts that we have coming. We're excited about what's happening, and we're continue to be excited about what we're doing with the Hoopheads Pod. And we will catch you for Friday's interview episode. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.